Hello and welcome to Every Woman. I'm Fiona Nowling and my wonderful engineer today is Una, and with me in the studio also helping interview is Anthony.
Hello.
Hello.
And we've got some great guests today. With us in the studio today are Javon Franklin and Lauren Thompson from Pink Celebration, and we also have Javon's daughter Brooklyn, who is absolutely awesome. If we're really lucky, she'll also talk to us. And Javon is an amazing person. She works in the corporate banking world, but also owns a photography business. Coming from the world of pageantry, she's also a fitness bikini competitor, which has helped encourage many around her to be proactive about their health and wellness. And then on January 24th this year, at the age of 32, she was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer, which changed her life in many ways. She had no family history and no health issues growing up, but chose to be an advocate and share her story for today's generation and for those to come. Javon and Lauren, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
So I gave a brief introduction to our listeners, but I'd like you to tell us a bit about your background.
Absolutely. Well, there's so much. I come from pageants. I started doing pageants at the age of, 17 or 18 when I was in high school. I did one, and I'm pretty competitive. Actually, I come from doing a lot of different types of sports, basketball, volleyball, running track. But the first pageant that I did, I didn't do as well as I thought. So I came off the stage crying, and I said, you know what? I really enjoy doing this. So when I got in college, I decided to do another pageant, and that pageant was the Miss Black Kansas and Miss Black Missouri pageant. I ended up going to compete in 2008 as Miss Black Kansas USA. I did that in Las Vegas, Nevada. I loved it. I met a wonderful group of women. I'm still in contact with a lot of them today, which is awesome. So kind of dabbling into pageantry for, I want to say it's been like 10 or 11 years now. It's been a little bit longer than that. And, after doing that, graduated from college with a broadcasting journalism degree at Park University. Once I graduated, the economy was kind of rough. There was a recession in 2009, and so it was really hard for me to get into the field of reporting and broadcasting. So my mom told me, she said, you know what? She said, you're going to be off my insurance really soon, so you need to get a big girl job. So with that, I went into the banking world. Been in it for 9 years. Work in as a corporate trainer at a Missouri-based bank, and I've been doing that for the past 2 years now. And it's been a lot of fun. I enjoy it. I get to kind of still be able to utilize public speaking and broadcasting and training people. With that, I was still missing a niche of wanting to, utilize my college degree. So, I dabbled in photography for a while. Once I had my firstborn, Brooklyn, I decided to really give it a go. And I've been doing it for about 4 years now on the side. And I love it. Lauren?
What sort of photography? Is it a digital, or are you going old school with it?
I wish I can go old school, but I didn't learn that in college. They don't really teach that nowadays. And so I'm more of a digital photographer. Lauren is one of my many clients, which is great because she's one of my really good friends. And I've done photos of her babies.
Yeah, she's done our family photos for the past 5 years.
So, portrait photography rather than landscape.
Yes, portrait.
Like
not much landscape. I specialize in families, children.
Farm and things, or
you said what?
Farm photos, or
just
families, people together.
Yes, and embracing them. I do a little bit of weddings. I don't really like to do weddings, but I'll do them. and that's something I do kind of on the side as well.
So I imagine the weddings could be stressful.
They are. It's like a full it's more than just a full day's work. You know, you've got to be there for over 8 hours. On top of that, you've also got to edit all of their, you know, their photos, and that can take hours on end. So I don't think people really understand how much goes into being a photographer. So,
and if the wedding is that stressful for the photographer, I mean, imagine what it's like for the people getting married.
Oh my goodness. Like it's a lot. When you're a photographer for a wedding, though, it's like you're the photographer, you're like the coordinator. I mean, you've got many tasks, and I don't think people really realize that. So.
I think there must be a lot of people relations and placating of people who aren't in the photo that thought they ought to be because they thought they were closer to the bride than they are, and
absolutely,
things like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, you have to, like, really, you know, get people out of the way and say, you know what, I've got to focus on, you know, the bride and the groom. So I need them. I need to make sure that, you know, we don't have a lot of people in the way. You know, cell phones are so big and people want to take pictures and, you know, be their own photographer with, you know, their cell phone. And so I can't stress the fact that I just commend photographers who just specialize into weddings, because there's no way that I could do that.
I think she could. She's really good with helping family stay calm. And even if she's stressed, she never shows it. She always makes everyone feel really, you know, welcome. And to get newborn shots and to get, you know, my crazy kids on the photo and to get that picture perfect moment, I think is a talent that, you know, I don't think she realizes how great
she
is at it. No,
that's
serious, because you know my kids. You know our family.
I think even your friends, if they didn't think that was true, wouldn't say it, because they would use somebody else as a photographer and just claim scheduling issues or something.
Absolutely. Lauren's a big supporter, and, you know, I think we need more people like that anyways, especially in the Kansas City area, people supporting small businesses. But so I really enjoy doing photography. I'm happy that it's not like my full-time job, because I can kind of pick and choose when I want to do it, especially with what's happening this year with, you know, developing breast cancer. That would be very hard to, you know, have that setback and not be able to, you know, be well for, you know, taking pictures of people. So,
yeah. And since you brought up the breast cancer, how did you find out you had breast cancer? Because with the fitness bikini competitor, you must be very aware of your own body.
Well, yeah. So last year I went heavy into being, focusing on my fitness. So I competed in two big competitions in 2017, one before, but last year I was in the best shape of my life. And after in the off season, you know, you kind of get comfortable in the fall and the winter, right? We start to eat and, you know, just kind of, you know, get relaxed. And so I kind of had a setback of, you know, not going to the gym as much. And in December, when I was like, okay, the new year's coming up, so I wanted to hit it before January. You know, everybody's in the gym, you know, the beginning of the year. So I was going back to the gym and kind of had some aches and pains. And one night when I was going to bed, I felt a small little lump. And I actually thought, oh, it's because I'm not in the gym as much as I normally have been this year. So I didn't think much of it. I just kind of brushed it aside for about a week or two. A couple weeks passed, and then what I developed was pain in my underarm. And I started to kind of move my arm around, raise my arm, like, this does not feel right. So I knew something wasn't right. I just did not know, because the pain had spread. Also, the lump that I felt in my breast started to get bigger. The one thing they tell you about breast cancer, well, a couple things they tell you. They tell you that breast cancer doesn't hurt, and they say that breast cancer does not grow rapidly. Both are lies, are not, you know, true in my case, because, so kind of moving into the whole thing of what I've heard, oh, this can't be breast cancer. It's no, that didn't even cross my mind. Moving into January, went to the doctor. They really don't like to treat people under the age of 30 as if they have breast cancer. because they want to say it's something you develop in early, you know, earlier, older ages, I would say. And so they did a ultrasound. They did a, you know, a sonogram, a mammogram, and they said, oh, well, you know, it's probably just an infection. So for 3 weeks, they were treating it like it was an infection. So it didn't cross my mind still that it could be that. 3 weeks with medications, treating it as an infection, they finally decided to do a biopsy. The biopsy, later on that week, I was going through a little bit of change. I was getting my hair cut. Actually, I cut my hair many inches off of my hair, not even thinking about breast cancer. It was because I wanted a change for the new year. And I was in the stylist seat. I got a call from the doctor. I got another call. I got 4 calls until I finally answered, and it was 6 o'clock in the evening. And the doctor asked me if I was sitting somewhere and I would like to hear some news about my biopsy. Okay, so what would you do? Would you say, no, just, this isn't the perfect time, you know, maybe you can tell me tomorrow, right?
I had to phone my doctor after they hadn't told me anything for 3 weeks after my ultrasound. And I'd been thinking, must be good news, because they would have called straight away if it was bad. Mm. And I phoned and chased them up, and they're like, yeah, it's suspicious, you need a biopsy. So I just said, tell me now, and yes, I'm sitting down.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's... No one would, you know, in their right mind would say, oh, well, just, you know, right now is not the perfect time.
Yeah.
However, I was really frustrated, kind of thinking back, and my family was really frustrated about the doctor saying that, you know, calling me instead of just saying, you know, we need you to come in tomorrow. We've got, you know, some results. We need to go over them. So I said, yes, go ahead and tell me. She told me, I'm sorry, Javon, but you have breast cancer. I immediately dropped the phone to my lap and trembled. I screamed out, crying, and my hairstylist is like, oh my gosh, what is going on? And I had to tell her. Yeah. She starts crying, she holds me, and she's saying a prayer, and we are sitting there, and I'm just like, this can't be true. And I said, okay, I need you to call my husband. Because what you're telling me right now is not registering. I could not comprehend what she was saying, because the whole time, you know, being at the doctor's, that was not something that was, you know, that I could swallow. And so she called my husband, and I'm sorry, I'm kind of like having flashbacks going back to that moment. She called my husband. And I called, well, my mother kept calling me a couple times, and I told her, she said, okay, where are you at? You know, what did the doctor say? And I said, I don't know. I right now, all of it's not registering. And so her and my dad wanted to come and pick me up, because they were like, there's no way that you can drive home in this state of mind. I said, no, it's fine. I'll be okay. And I was driving home. I called my other friend, Shannon, and told her, I said, hey, because she wanted to see my new hairstyle. So she was calling, and I had to tell her what's going on. She said, I'm on my way over to your house. I said, you know what? My parents said that I probably shouldn't be driving, and they were probably right, because at that moment I started crying on 435 going through the Grandview Triangle, and tears were flowing again uncontrollably. And it was hard. It was really hard to retain what they had just told me. It still is to this day. And, you know, next week I will have my final round of chemo. My goodness. And so I'm ready to be done.
Yeah, I bet.
But it's been very trying, going through 6 aggressive rounds of chemo. Like I said, stage 3. Inductive carcinoma. And so when it comes to the stages, with it being stage 3, that means it's spread to my lymph nodes. And so they did a biopsy on one of my lymph nodes and found that that was cancerous. And so based off of the tumor I had as well, the size, which was 8 centimeters.
Wow.
So the length of almost a grapefruit. And I will be happy to say, though, right now, they are not able to detect or even see much of anything in the mammogram after going through six rounds. So, you know, that is an amazing, amazing chemo treatment that I have had. So I'm really, really blessed and happy about that.
Yeah, that is great news for you.
So moving into hopefully the rest of the year, in I want to say July, after I'm done with chemo, they are going to do surgery. Not really sure exactly what we're going to do for surgery yet, because when we started off, it was like, okay, the doctor's like, a mastectomy. And at 33 years old, knowing that the doctor is telling you they're going to just take your entire breast is like, no, I don't want that to happen. But now there's a probability that we could do a lumpectomy. And so we'll see kind of what we're going to do. We'll have surgery, and then I'll be followed with 6 weeks of radiation. So the journey's not over yet, but it almost is, I would have to say. And I'm ready to be done with chemo. Chemo is awful.
Yeah, so. I was lucky that with the thyroid cancer, I didn't have to do that, and I dodged the radiation treatments too so far. So, but my grandmother, when I was growing up, she had breast cancer, and it metastasized to her bones, so had chemo and a lot of pain.
Yeah.
And luckily, I used to get all sorts of bugs when I was a kid, but luckily I didn't get any while she was undergoing the treatment to make her iller. And I know that can be an issue. I think I saw that your husband was ill recently.
Yes.
Trying not to share germs in a household like that.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I've never been a big germaphobe, but this year, especially with the flu, I mean, the flu epidemic was crazy.
Yes.
This year. My daughter had the flu, and, you know, kids at her school were getting it off and on. And so I'm staying away from it. And I'm very cautious now of, like, germs, people coughing, you know, just everything. So I was hoping that I was not going to get sick, because if I get sick, then it kind of pushes off my treatment, and that's the last thing that I want to happen. I want to be done next week with this chemo. So
yeah, I wasn't having chemo, but I didn't want my surgery date to get pushed, so when someone at work started coughing and sneezing next to me, I dived into the kitchen and grabbed one of the face masks to put over, because I just did not want to have anything affect my treatment. And I think a lot of people that are anti-vaccines and stuff and think that it's okay, I'm healthy, I can cope with it, don't realize that they can spread it to other people who don't have such good immune systems or who really can't afford to get ill.
Yeah, It's something you cannot play around with. I mean, when they say that you can get sick, you can get sick, and you just have to be very cautious of that. But I've been, you know, lucky to not have to really worry. Now, I did get pretty sick, I would say a really bad severe sinus cold, which normally would last about a week or two. It lasted for about 4 weeks, which was rough. But other than that, I'm happy that you know, summer is coming up, because I would have hated to start treatment in this heat that we're about to have. Like, I get hot flashes. Can you imagine getting hot flashes at like 33? It's awful. And my mother, she's like, okay, now you can kind of see what I'm experiencing, because it's rough. And when I get them, like, they are awful. So I'm happy to be done with this stage coming up. And while I was, you know, I would say pretty sick throughout chemo, since I had six treatments, it would last about 10 days. And so when I say sick, I mean side effects out of this world. While I was in bed, because I'm just so used to being on the go, 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 I decided, you know, I said, well, I had a lot of people just telling me that I needed to be a voice for this ugly disease. And, you know, this is not for me. This is for somebody else, to inspire other people. And so I kept hearing that, and I'm like, okay, you know, and I'm, you know, I have a spiritual side, and I say, God, just tell me what I need. What is it that you're trying to show me? I don't want to be sick. I don't want to have this thing, but tell me what, you know, how you're trying to use me, in this. And so I had called my dad up. He was the first person that I talked to, and sometimes I don't really, call him for things just because he is very, what is the word? He's a realist. So, and he doesn't like for me to overdo things. And I'm just like him because I'm involved in any and everything. And I'm just used to being busy. But I called him up and I told him, I said, hey, I think I'm going to have an event. I want to have some type of brunch, a woman's brunch, to talk about my story and, you know, share with them other survivors. And I've got to figure out how I can have this event and how I can have sponsors, because right now I'm going to have a chunk load of money going out to pay for all these medical bills, and I can't afford, but this sounds like a good idea. He said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Instead of him telling me, no, you got this and that, you need to rest, da, da, da. And so I told him that, and then I swear it was like hours later, I was speaking with Lauren and her her cousin who is helping in California with this. I spoke to them and they said, yeah. And I'm telling you, in hours, I had it all planned out. I had an idea of what I wanted to do. And Lauren and her cousin were telling me, oh, well, you need to, this is what you need to do. You need to find a place where you can have the event. So you've got to find a venue. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. And so I started making notes of what I needed to do. And I was trying to figure out how to do it. Coming from pageantry, you have, well, you don't have to, but it helps if you reach out to sponsors and people to help with paying for all of those, you know, getting you to where you need to go, because it's very expensive with pageants. And so I said, okay, I'm going to utilize the same way I would with a pageant and reach out to different people to help with this event. And so I reached out to Lauren, and Lauren's been helping tremendously. Lauren, kind of let them know exactly what you do.
So I don't want to get on here to talk about me. Let me just tell you about Javon, because within it was her idea. She had the seed planted, and because she's just such a good spirited person, people just love her, and people were reaching out to her like, I want to help with this. So I just want to thank Artist Event Space for the space, and Jasmine Rackley of Sweet Couture Events for the decoration. So many people have come and say, let me give you goblets and platters so you can have this event, or I want to do the floral arrangements for you, or I want to speak at this event. And so many people have just gravitated towards her, just wanting to lend a hand because they see what she's doing. She's on social media often sharing her highs and her lows, and she inspires so many people. I'm not sure if she's aware of her sphere of reach when she's sharing those moments with people. And you know, we're crying with her, we're smiling with her on the good days, praying for her. And I think she doesn't know that it was just all her doing it, and it's just people gravitated towards her and just wanted to help her out. So we're excited for what's to come June 24th, and to celebrate all the women who are survivors or who are currently going through it, and just to encourage them, and more so to have this be a catalyst for promoting early detection. Like she mentioned, insurance doesn't cover me. I'm 33. I won't get coverage for a mammogram. And so it just shocked our whole, like, entire world of friends when we found out she had this. She's the healthiest person we know. She eats right, and she makes us eat right, and she has no family history. And so it was just so shocking that that happened. And so it inspired all of us, to energize us to, okay, let me go get a physical. Let me go pay for this mammogram. How can we provide access to women who may not be aware that you probably should go get checked just because? And so we're grateful to have the mammogram truck come out on that day and provide that service. So pushing the notion that women should really get checked earlier and try to have that be a catalyst for something later, maybe something as large as having legislation change to where the age limit is now 30, and you can have your mammogram covered by insurance. So that's
it's crazy because they tell you to wait till you're 40, okay? So a lot of women get checked earlier if it's a family history. So now, you know, my sisters, my daughter, they're going to have to get checked at the age 30, which is great since there is no family history. However, you getting checked at an earlier age, the way the machines are set up, the mammograms, it's hard for them to detect it because they say that you're breast tissue is too dense. So it's like, okay, where is all the money going for research? How can we, you know, put some of this money, sponsor or figure out a way to where we can have, you know, the younger generation being able to be detected? Because it's happening. It's happening at 17. It's happening at 18. I'm in, you know, the infusion center, and I see, you know, 20-year-olds that are having to deal with cancer. And it's just, it makes me so upset that there is nothing that they're doing right now. Not saying that they aren't, but we've got to really start focusing on how we can do that.
They've got the 3D mammograms now, which might help more with that dense breast tissue because they've got different angles. But a lot of the insurance companies say, we'll pay for the base mammogram, but you have to pay the difference if you're going to insist on that one.
And it's an arm and a leg to get these. So,
yeah. So the event you were talking about is the Pink Celebration, which has been sold out. And sort of the idea of the event was so that other people could hear from survivors. How many survivors are you going to have speaking at the event?
You have a panel of six, right?
Yes, it's six of us. And I want to say, me and a fellow, we call them Pink Sisters, Liz Moreau. She is out of Columbia, and she actually was diagnosed in December. And she just finished, I want to say 2 days ago, she just finished getting her lumpectomy surgery. So she'll be, you know, someone who's of current. And then who else do we have?
Lonnie Bush of Lonnie Bush Fitness. Incredible powerhouse. She'll be coming to be a keynote speaker along with Liz Steinman. We've
got Tamika Dickerson. She is also a fellow photographer, and she's a survivor as well. I have a lady, Vicky. She is a nurse out of St. Luke's, since that's where I'm going to get my treatment. And she, I want to say, is over 20 or 25 year breast cancer survivor. And so she's going to be on the panel as well. So, I mean, it's...
And Julia.
Julia, yes. We got someone else. Julia. Julia is one of the directors for, I want to say, Young Survivor Coalition. It's a group that kind of gets all of us current breast cancer and survivors together to kind of just talk about their story, because there is a different story for every breast cancer survivor. And so, I mean, we've got a lot of good women on the board. We've got on the panel. We've got one of my good friends who is a fellow photographer who's going to be taking pictures, Becky. We've got a DJ,
yes,
for the event. The most important thing, the person who's going to be serving food, because I love to eat, Shanita Bryant. She is with Magnolias on the Move, and she's going to be our chef for the event. Go ahead.
Will you have any medical professionals there or other resources so that women can both find out how they can take care of themselves and also what resources are available if they're in the midst of having cancer?
The mammogram truck will be out front, and there'll actually be mammograms done on site. So we've directed the women to go ahead and schedule their mammograms in advance with all the information about what the costs are that are associated with it, and if it's a free service depending on the insurance. So we've directed that to the mammogram truck, but they'll be there from 12 to 3, and they can take about 4 women per hour on the mammogram. So even though we're having this great celebration and celebrating everybody, we still want to push early detection. Please go and get your mammogram scheduled. If you can't do it on that date, please hook up with the mammogram truck and try to make those arrangements.
And like the importance of self-checks and things like that as well.
Yes.
Vicky Thomas is going to be, she's our nurse navigator. She's, I'm sorry, my nurse navigator at St. Luke's. She's going to be on the panel. So she's very knowledgeable, not just in breast cancer itself, being a survivor, but within being a cancer treatment, working in the cancer treatment center. So,
and also in the giveaway bags, too, like you mentioned, the self-check,
the leaflet
diagrams and things like that, and pamphlets and all of that good information will be in some of the giveaway bags.
That's great. We're going to break for music in a moment or two, but could you quickly tell people what a nurse navigator is? Because not everyone will know.
Yeah, so she is kind of the person who, I want to say, if we need someone to talk to in regards to what we're going through, she can kind of help navigate you in the different, you know, areas of, let's say, if you need a psychologist or, you know, maybe you need to get some type of massage, you need to go through yoga, the different things that are going on for breast cancer survivors at St. Luke's. She kind of directs people in that area. Also, she kind of just gives you that comfort, you know, because she as well is a survivor. And, you know, if you need someone to talk to, she is there. There's St. Luke's is great because they host a lot of different free things for people that are going through that. So that's kind of what she does.
That sounds like a really great and useful role. I wish that had been around when my grandmother was going through things.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, we're going to take a short break for music and then we'll be back with our guests. And we're back on Every Woman with our guests, Javon Franklin and Lauren Thompson, and Javon's daughter, Brooklyn, who is about to speak to us.
You want to say hello? Say hi.
Come on. Okay. Come on. She's right by the microphone.
She was like, is there going to be a lot of people in here? And I'm like, no, it's not going to be anybody in here. And now she won't even speak. You want to say hello to everyone? Okay. I guess she's not going to speak.
Curses.
Well, I had to bring her because right now she is representing Missouri as International Junior Miss Junior Princess. And so she will be going to nationals in July. Where are we going to nationals?
San Antonio.
Excellent. And she's going to be competing against, I want to say, about 50 other girls between the ages of 4 and 6 for the national title. So she's pretty excited about that. But she's here because she's kind of a breast cancer advocate for me. Is that your platform this year?
Yes.
Yes. And what do you tell people? What is mommy to you? You tell people what mommy is to you? Is she your WW?
What does that mean?
That means Wonder Woman, right? Yeah. So she's really excited about doing this. And, you know, it kind of keeps me in high spirits because I have something else to kind of give my energy to. And it's been really, really fun watching her do this. And I'm kind of like freaked out a little bit because she's going to a national pageant at 5 years old. So are you excited?
Yeah.
What are you excited about?
Nationals.
What else about nationals? What do you tell me your favorite thing about pageants is?
Well, my favorite thing about pageants is
wearing the dresses.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. What else? Do you like making friends? I don't know why she's acting shy, because normally she's not shy at all. She's a social butterfly, but...
Maybe I was being in a microphone before.
That's what I was thinking. If she was talking to people, she might have talked a mile a minute, but with the microphone right there, it's a little weird.
But no, we're really excited about nationals, and, you know, this will be something that... She'll be able to, hopefully, if she enjoys it this year, it'll be something to do in the coming year. So, but yeah, that's one of the good things that we're looking forward to. And, you know, really, I'm looking forward to this event. I think this event that we have coming up next month is going to be amazing. And I think it will be definitely a life changer for our generation, because I think a lot of women at our age are just not aware of what can happen. You know, this being sporadic is just, to me, is still kind of crazy, because, you know, it can happen to anyone. I don't want to scare anyone, you know, to tell them that this is something that can happen to you. But we have to be very mindful as women of what changes our bodies go through. And we can't put those things off, because, you know, some of us are mothers, we're wives, you know, we don't want to just live for ourselves. We got to live for our family too. And that's one thing. My family has been extremely, extremely supportive throughout this entire, you know, thing that I'm going through. And so has my friends. I cannot express, like, even strangers. I mean, people that know me through my family and my friends have reached out. You know, one of my friends, Charmaine, started a meal train, and we've had people bringing us meals. Kind of like I said, I've taken on and adapted Wonder Woman as kind of my title, and I've had so many people bringing me and mailing me tons of Wonder Woman accessories and different things to kind of just, you know, keep at the forefront of my mind that, you know, I'm going to make it through this, and I am somebody's hero, and it's important that I kind of know that, because there are good days and there are bad days. So with kind of the pink celebration, you know, Lauren had this idea of, you know, this isn't going to be something that we're going to do just this year. You know, Lauren, you said you wanted, you know, you had this big idea of, you know, we need to continue to keep doing this.
Absolutely, because, as she mentioned, it kind of shocked our entire circle of friends, and just really want to push for early detection, be an advocate for that. So I would like for us to keep pushing the envelope to where we continue to have the mammogram truck come out, and, you know, we make the community aware, make our circle aware of the different resources that are available to us, make people aware of, okay, this happened to her, let's be mindful of that. And also, if you don't mind if I bring up, Javon has breast implants. She was not asked prior to her surgery about the history or anything like that. So I think that's something important that we'd like to push for later on, about when you're having implants or an augmentation or something like that, has a mammogram been conducted before? Because who knows how long she's had this? We don't know, you know? Who knows how long it's been sitting dormant there? So it's just something that we like to push for year after year.
And you might need to, instead of just having a mammogram, you might need an ultrasound as well, or something extra to see beneath that implant tissue.
Yeah.
And it's crazy, because even when you're getting augmentations, the doctors do not ask you if you want a mammogram, or they don't, it's not something that's urged at all. I know some women that have gotten mammograms before augmentation. I know some that have not.
Yeah.
And like I said, it was not something that I thought, oh, well, this is what I really need to do, because they don't, you know, strongly suggest, oh, you need to get this done beforehand. And so,
and she's not the only woman I know. I know of several women who have had breast augmentations under the age of 40 who have never been asked if they had a mammogram or. Yeah, and you as well. So, yeah. So that's concerning, and we'd like to change that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, because of my family history, I had my first mammogram at like 38 or 39, so just a couple of years ahead of it, as a baseline, the doctor said. And then, of course, I got a letter in the mail that arrived on Friday, because that's what always happens when anything bad news happens. It arrives in the post when it's too late to phone up and ask anyone, and you have to worry all freaking weekend about it, saying I had some anomalies and they'd like me to phone them back. It turned out I had to have another mammogram and then an ultrasound, and it turned out to be fibrocystic changes. But you're sweating about that the whole weekend and not able to find out anything or move on it. Thankfully, the second time that happened, they actually phoned me, and I didn't have to sit and fret and worry, and I'd already gone through it once, so I thought it's probably that. But they definitely need to work on how they communicate things to people.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, I hope that, especially with this event, I hope that it brings more attention to just to us as a whole. And I hope women leave this event saying, you know what, this is really important that I share with other people. So, you know, this year we didn't, based off of the event space where we were having it, you know, we had to keep the number at, you know, 70. But, you know, I am hoping that we are able, next year, we're able to double that. So we should be able to have 140, but we've got to find the event space. Because what I would really like to, like I said, to continue to keep doing this, but we you know, things are going to change. You know, I'm going to have a story this year, and I may have a different story next year. But you, out of those 70 women, it could be one person that might end up, you know, God forbid it happened, but could end up with some type of cancer. And then they're going to have a story, okay? So, or someone they know close to them is going to have a story. Based all, out of meeting all these different women, they're going to want to say, you know what, this is what I've learned, and this is what I can share with you. And I think that's really important that, you know, we are able to expand this and get this out, because you never know. You just never know what could happen. This is the last thing that I expected to happen. And, you know, I went into 2018 thinking it was going to be an amazing year. And you know what? It still is going to be an amazing year. It's just, it's a couple rough patches in the way of, you know, getting through the rest of the year. So
I think your father was very wise, because seeing you talk about this and light up and how focused you are on it, it gave you something positive to look forward to in the midst of all of the darkness.
I needed that. I really did, because there are some days that are just, I don't get out of bed because I feel so sick. And those days I don't share with people, because they don't want to hear that every day, right? You don't want to see someone having to live depressed and sick and sad. And there are some days that I do share that I just don't feel good. But the days that I feel great, you know, I was in Hy-Vee the other day. I want to say it was Wednesday. And it was Wednesday or Thursday. I can't remember which day. But I go out, especially right now because it's so hot with, you know, with my bald head. And when I was going through the line, the lady stopped me. The cashier said, "You are so brave." And I said, "Well, why am I brave?" And she said, "Because you're going out with, you know, your bald head showing." She said, "I can't even do that, and I'm going through it right now." And we exchanged some words and we talked, and I felt compelled to grab her and say, "You know what? You are going to make it through this. You are able to do whatever you think you can put your mind through." She said, "But I'm in front of the public eye." I said, "So am I. You know, people see me all the time." I said, "But don't let them dictate your life. Don't let them, don't feel trapped like, you know, they're judging you, because only you know what you're going through." And we started to tear up a little bit. And I told her, I said, "I'm going to be praying for you." And, you know, it made me feel good that I might have impacted her in a positive way, to where she, you know, might think, you know what, it's okay for me to go out without this wig on today. Or, you know, it's okay for me to know that I'm going through this, but I'm going to get through it. And I've met some amazing women along the way that are dealing with this ugly disease. I've got a friend out in Kentucky who's, you know, dealing with ovarian cancer at 29. And, you know, it's just, you meet so many different people that are going through their own battle and are being strong, and it makes you want to be strong, not just for them, but, you know, for my kids, I got to be strong for them. You know, I've got a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 10-year-old. And they, you know, they don't want to see mommy sick, especially, you know, my 5-year-old Brooklyn being here. You know, she's like, "I just can't wait till you feel better." And I've got to be strong for them. I've got to make it through for them. So that's important.
I think focusing on living for your family gives you some extra motivation, but also I think a lot of people lose time to take care of themselves and practice that self-care because they're so focused on their family. So that's a really tricky aspect to balance, especially for doing routine things like detection. When you're seriously ill, everyone makes space and rallies around. Tell me about how, some more about how your family have supported you through this.
So they, my father and my mom are amazing because they are at every one of my appointments. Literally every one of my appointments. They come, they want to hear because there's only so much that I can retain. So they're asking questions, they're taking notes. My sisters are at a lot of the appointments. I have a sister who's due in August, and you know, she's kind of put me before her own pregnancy right now, and that I hate to see that happen, but it makes me feel so blessed to know that my family is really there. I've got family. I mean, every day they are always calling me, hey, how are you doing today, what's going on, you know. Any little accomplishment that I, you know, I do, whether it's me getting out and going to work for a few hours, or, you know, me getting up and eating a meal and it actually sitting well, you know, they're just like, oh, that's great. I'm so happy to hear it. And so any good day that I'm having, they are really supportive of that. Like I said, that I've had people bring me meals, so they bring me meals. There's a lot of times after treatments, you know, we stay over my parents' house because they want to kind of help out with the kids. They want to give my husband a break and give me a little bit of a break. And they're my father especially is running rapid to the stores. Oh, what do you feel like eating? And one thing might sit good and something else might not, but he's, you know, making sure that he's going out and get whatever I need. And he's like, girl, you're going to drive me crazy. But, you know, he's there. And that's really been extremely important for me, is just to have them be there for me. I don't feel like I'm in my 30s. I feel like right now I'm like 13 because I have them doing that. But you know what? That makes me feel so supportive, and it keeps my lows from, you know, being so low. And it allows me to know that whatever I need, they're going to be able to help me with. So,
and I think a lot of people, when their friends have cancer, they hear the C word and they kind of don't want to talk about it, as if talking about it makes it not real, or as if talking about it might draw its attention and it might notice them. And I think things that you've just said that your family and your friends do for you are really important things for people to do to support their friends. Meal plans, taking their kids to clubs and stuff so they don't miss out on stuff after school and they can rest and collapse if they feel ill from chemo. Getting whatever, whether it's chicken soup or whatever might sit well after chemo when they're feeling nauseous, and or even just sitting there and not even talking if they don't feel talkative, but then they've got company.
Absolutely.
Any ideas like that?
Absolutely. You know, I think a lot of people are scared of that. And there might be some people that don't share their story because they, you know, they don't want to feel like they're a burden on anyone. But that's what family and friends are here for. They're here to help out. Sometimes, you know, you get people that say, you know what, I just didn't know what to say to you. I don't even know the words. And I get that still, you know, I don't know. And I'm like, you don't have to say much of anything. Just keep me in your thoughts. You know, keep me lifted up in positivity, right? You know, I don't want to hear all the negative. And trust me, when you have any type of cancer, you get people that are saying, oh, you know, I had a family member once who died of such and such, and they tell you all these crazy stories, and like, the last thing I want to hear is about this person that died. I'm trying to live, and yeah, I'm going to live, right? I'm going to be a survivor. So it's, you hear so much, and you know, I think people have good intentions, but, you know, some of those positive words are not expressed the way that they come out. And so, you know, just keep, you know, if you know people that are having to deal with this, keep them lifted up. Reach out to them and see if there's anything you can do for them, because you just don't know what type of impact you're going to have on their life.
Yeah, and medical research is advancing all the time. So those old stories, the people then that had exactly the same thing might survive now. So those sort of stories that might be out of date and dragging you down for no reason whatsoever.
Absolutely. I try to, you know, they say, oh, such and such died in 2000 and such and such. And I'm like, okay, every year, our research is expanding. So that means it's getting better. And so it's important that we just stay positive any way we can.
I'd like to thank you for being here today and sharing your message with us. You definitely have a spark, and I look forward to seeing you grow that spark and make it an annual event and come back and tell us all about it. Thank you so much for being here. Can you tell anyone a way to get in touch with you? Or
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I appreciate being here. Yeah. You can follow me on Facebook. You can go to my page, Javon Franklin. I am on Instagram as well, Mrs. XO2U. Those are the two main social medias that you can kind of follow me through. You can also follow my daughter, Brooklyn's, the rest of her year, because she'll have some stuff with being a breast cancer advocate. And, just look forward to...
Also, with the Pink Celebration, thank you, Anthony, for helping us out technologically. We're going to figure out a way to live stream the event through the Pink Celebration page so that if you weren't able to... reserve one of the free tickets, that you'll still be able to get some of that information through the live stream. So thank you, Anthony. We'll figure out how to do that.
Thank you so much for being here today, and thank you to Anthony for being my co-host and also technical reference. Thank you to Una for engineering, and thank you to Javon and Lauren and to Brooklyn for being on the air with us. And next week we're going to have Gigi, who is a grandmother advocate and activist and is with the Land Board of Kansas City, Missouri.